It'll Come Up, a Christmas Horror Story by Cady Donnelly. It was mid-December of my 10th year, and we still had no tree in the living room. Every year prior, my father would leave for a weekend, driving up past the patchwork of snow-gilt townhouses that made up our neighborhood, and would come back with a big, sturdy pine and a cardboard box full of the most beautiful ornaments. This year, however, was different. My father, seemingly transfixed by some dusty novella, simply sat in his chair by the hearth and read, a calm resolution hidden behind his glasses. My older brother was apoplectic. "When are you getting the tree, Dad? We need a tree. It won't be Christmas without one." Whenever he would say this, and at the time he repeated this nearly 3 times a day, my father would just quietly reply, "It'll come up." It'll come up. What did that mean? Would someone be mailing us a tree? Could you even send a pine tree through the mail? Or would one spontaneously grow in the yard, as if by some Yuletide magic, sprouting golden decorations and silver trim all on its own? Beyond my childish conjecture, there were no answers, and the days passed on, until finally it was Christmas Eve. My brother and I sat together in the living room playing chess, while my father laid sleeping on the couch. Chess was not something either of us were particularly good at, but it passed the time, and as we played, we quietly wondered to each other if having no tree was in fact some sort of punishment. "You cursed at him last month," I accused. "This is all probably because of that." My brother crinkled his nose. "That was once," he shot back. "If it's anyone's fault, it's yours." "What did I do?" "You never do your homework. How many times has Mrs. Coleman called the house about that? I bet there's a message on the machine about it right now," he smiled evilly. "Yeah, well," I trailed off. He was right. I never did my homework. And maybe my poor work ethic wouldn't just cost us a tree, but presents as well. This was something I hadn't considered until that moment, and I reflexively bowed my head to keep my brother from seeing the faint welling of tears in my eyes. A moment more and they were gone, and I looked up to find my brother looking exceedingly pale. "What's the matter?" I asked. He said nothing, and his eyes betrayed a haunted look I'll never forget. In an instant he shot up and shambled hurriedly to the bathroom, closing the door behind him. I ran quickly after him and listened at the door as a hideous retching began to ensue. "Are you okay in there?" I called, nervously. I remembered the stomach bug our family got last summer, the tainted soup, how we all needed the bathroom at the exact same time. It was scary. Scarier still, however, were the deep, guttural noises that my brother was now making. An aching animal sound, up from the bowels, as if behind the door my brother was turning himself inside out. I'd never heard anything like it, and I knew I should immediately run to wake my father. Instead, I turned the handle. Up and down and all over the pristine white tile of the bathroom floor was a mess of green. Pine needles. Hundreds of them. And there, at the center of the pile, clutching the toilet with a trembling grip, was my brother, a long branch in his mouth. He looked at me with a vacant desperation, the face of someone who needs help but isn't sure what help would entail. I ran to his side and began pulling at the branch, trying to dislodge it from his throat. My hands, sweaty as they were, slipped along the plant, pulling off handfuls of needles but not displacing the obstruction more than an inch. Again I pulled, harder now, and this time it began to budge. The force of my pull and the sudden give of the branch knocked me backward, and as I lay splayed on the floor, I watched in shock and revulsion the result my help had won. The plant slowly emerged, more and more, the base still growing larger, and as it did, my brother's jaw began to unhinge. A hushed, wet popping became audible, and my brother's mouth extended, wider, longer, far beyond the limits, as I knew them, of human biology. Despite this, my brother was still alive, but his eyes betrayed a distant look, barely conscious, and he did not watch the mirror as the fibrous lining of his throat cracked, expanding still, making room for the enormous pine he was expelling. Larger and larger it grew, an immense skirt of lower branches springing forth from him like a snake regurgitating its meal. And with every passing second, with every newly exposed bit of bark, my brother in turn receded, skin stretched tight over an impossible prognathic funnel, threatening to tear, barely recognizable as the person he'd been mere moments before. I couldn't watch anymore. Every limb felt weak, limp, and cold, and yet my feet moved, kicking, clamoring to escape the scene. And as I reversed along the floor, I felt myself come up hard against something behind me that hadn't been there before. A pair of legs. My father's. "Dad, we have to get him, we..." I sputtered helplessly, beyond words. My father looked down at me briefly, then back up to my brother, smiling. "Well now, looks like your brother is finally taking on some responsibility," he chirped. The casual, almost prideful tone with which he said this was shocking, and I stared back at him blankly. At this, he ushered me out the door with him and closed it behind us. "Let's give your brother some time to finish up."
"Finish up? He's...
"He's fine," my father assured me, placing a hand firmly on my shoulder. "You know, every year since I was a boy, I was the one coming up with trees," he said wistfully. "First for my brothers and sisters, then for the two of you. Where do you think I go when I bring one home anyway?" I stood in silence, awaiting his answer. "I go up to the mountains for a while so that you boys never need to see me like that. As I said, your brother will be fine. All of those changes seem terrible and strange, but they go away after a few days. Boy, when it first happened to me..." My father laughed to himself, adjusting his glasses. "When I was your age, I thought it was some kind of sickness, something that'd kill me. But over the years, I realized that it was merely an obligation, one that your brother is finally old enough to take up." As he said this, he produced an empty cardboard box from behind him and placed it into my hands, grinning from ear to ear. "And while your brother may be on tree duty, remember, every good Christmas tree needs ornaments." And at these words, my stomach gurgled.